to Fitfluential Radio, the intersection of fitness, health, wellness, and modern medicine. 50% education, 50% motivation. We're here to help you find your fitness. Tune in weekly for interviews with some of the most respected and experienced names in the business, providing actionable insights for you in every episode. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's roll. Welcome back. This is part two of my two-part interview with Alex Mazurko. If you are just stumbling on this, please be sure to go back and listen to part one. Men don't have the pressure that we do to look young and thin and perfect all the time. And so it's very easy for women to get so focused on looking perfect, being smaller, being the right size, being the right weight, that you're not thinking about the bigger picture. And the bigger picture has more of an impact on what you're doing to reach fitness goals than any of us can imagine, which is why I want to make sure we cover this on the show, why I'm passionate about educating on this, because, you know, people will hear things like adrenal fatigue and they just think it's this word and people are saying, oh, they're tired. And until probably the past 2 months, I know I shared this with you, Alex, when you and I first talked, but I'm like, I have every time I would look in the mirror and I would see that my hips were big or my sports bra was tight or I couldn't lose fat. I'm like, what is it that I'm not doing? What is it am I eating too much? Do I not have enough chicken? I must be doing something wrong. I must not be doing enough cardio. I must be not fasting long enough. Let me punish my body more to make it get thin. Instead of like you're able to share now and I'm able to share now, like all the stress in my life, all the antibiotics, all of these horrible pills with horrible side effects, all of the things I was eating or not eating, all the overtraining, all the undereating. And then it's like when you take a step back and you look at all of that, you kind of go, oh my God, like I'm like a horse that has three broken legs and yet I'm expecting it to win, you know, the Kentucky Derby. It doesn't work. And I love how you said the body will inevitably kind of break down and go, I can't do this anymore. And it really is. So with adrenal fatigue, I mean, just to reiterate, you said you had the death of a cousin and this was all like within a year, if I'm correct.
This was within 6 months. It wasn't even the whole year. I mean, he had been sick for a while, which was stressful, but I think, you know, it was 6 months of, okay, what is going on? And I love this. My cousin who actually passed, his mom has always told me, God doesn't keep a scorecard. Mm. And that's something that I try to remember. And it's, you know, things might be a shitstorm. And I look back to 2 years ago where I was, and I see that there is strength in the struggle. And if you can get through the hard times, if you can come out on the other side, you will be stronger. And I'm in such a better place. Even with my gut health issues and everything I've been through in the last year, I've come out stronger and better. I'm a better coach. I'm a better person. My body is better. It's healthier. It's more well-rounded. I would just love for women to kind of embrace the, what did you do to get here? Now you're going to struggle to get out of it. But once you're out of it, you are going to be so strong. And nobody wants to focus on what have I done the last 10 years? Mm-hmm. To really break my body down and why won't it work for me? And then they want it to be fixed in 6 to 12 weeks with some program that they buy online for $12.
It's, oh my God, all those truth bombs. Like I can't reinforce that enough because like I said a few minutes ago, people, I have been so relentless with myself and unforgiving with myself and beating myself up every single day for, you know, putting all this pressure that I own a fitness company and people look up to me and they're, you know, I hated going to the gym because I thought everyone was looking at the fat spilling over on my sports bra and, you know, how my boobs were bigger than they were before and this and that. And, you know, this girl's a size 8 or a 6 or a 4 and I'm huge. I'm disgusting. And that's no way to live. And now I will say this to the women that are going to be listening to this and other interviews, you're going to have that aha moment when you start to go, okay, maybe it's not just how much I'm training, if like all these things aren't working, all the extra cardio, all the fasting, all of the extreme dieting and trying all these different programs and nothing's working, and you finally have that moment of like, maybe there's something bigger here and there's something wrong with me. And I mean that in an appropriate way, not like there's something wrong with me, but there's something bigger that needs to be addressed. Sometimes back to what Alex said, when you're able to look at the last 10 years, or in my case, you know, I go back to starting to go on birth control and antibiotics at age 19. I mean, that's 26 years ago for me. It can be a little, I don't want to say depressing, but I don't know what else to say. You know, sometimes it's depressing for me to go, I now see with utter clarity what my body has been through. But if you can look at it through eyes of compassion for yourself, you need to give yourself compassion. Like, wow, look at how much I've been through and I'm standing and I'm capable. Because all we want to do is, like Alex said, find a program that can fix us and get us where we want to be faster. We don't want to say, wow, look at all I've been through. Let me soothe and nurture myself and heal myself for a year. You need to get to that place where you can accept that. That's what I have to do. And finding Alex, I've told her this, like every time we talk, I said, you have no idea how much I get up and I will look at your story and it makes it okay because I know that you've been through this, you've healed. I'm watching your transformation and I'm watching how you've become comfortable and more kind to yourself. And, you know, Alex, I'll say it again, you're making such an impact by educating, calling attention to these issues and helping women feel more comfortable talking about adrenal fatigue, talking about the fact that you're burning the candle at both ends, working your ass off, stressing yourself out, and you're gaining weight. It's not your fault. It's not that you need to have more chicken breasts or less rice. It's something bigger. And these are lifestyle issues. So again, I just want to thank you personally. And for everybody listening, this really is what you need to do. You need to recognize that if you're hitting the wall, if you're gaining weight, if you're exhausted, there are certain things from a medical perspective, and we're going to talk about that next, that you need to start doing. But really, if you can cultivate compassion towards yourself as you go through this journey, you will, as Alex said, come out as a better person, not just physically healed, but you will be emotionally stronger. You will be resilient. You will be transformed. I can say that too. And it's the best feeling ever to be able to say, I've come through two of the worst years of my life and I am forever transformed for the better because of it. So embrace that struggle. It's not just an Oprah saying, embrace it, because you can completely transform in all areas. And attitude is going to be key. Would you say that, you know, let's step into some of the specifics you did with blood testing, with stool testing, but do you think that a big reason why you've been successful over the past 13 months in healing your body and starting to get back to a healthy place, was it affected because you had a good attitude towards it? Did your attitude start off right, or did that develop over time?
Oh, and my attitude started off as like, F this. I had just come off of a prep and I was eating anywhere from 900 to 1500 calories. And I'm like, well, why do I want to cut out food? Macros say I can eat anything I want. And so I didn't do anything about the pain for September and October. I finally took the biome stool test in the beginning of November. And then I did like a test, Candida diet week, because I was like, this is so restrictive. I'm not doing this. So I told myself, give it a week and just try. And I didn't work out for the whole week. And I lost 2 pounds of literally pure inflammation. And I was like, well, shit. Well, Thanksgiving's coming. Then we have a trip to Chicago. Then we have Christmas. Then I'm like, this is not a good time. So I decided not to go through with taking any further steps. And I was going to wait for the biome test. I went through the holidays, got more inflamed, more puffy, was kept gaining 5-ish pounds a month. So initially I put on almost 20 pounds in 1 month. And then every month after that, I continued to gain 5 until about February-ish. In total, I put on 35 to 40 pounds in less than 6 months, which is really scary when you're not overeating, when you know, you're just living your life and the weight just keeps coming on. So I made it through the holidays and
Can I ask you a question there? I'm sorry to interrupt, but I interrupt a lot, but at least I say I'm sorry. When you first, you know, you were gaining weight and 'cause it took me a while, like I said, to have that shift of, oh, if I don't like what I see in the mirror and I'm not seeing results, then it must be something I've done, or it must be that I'm eating too much. Did you have an awareness during that time that something bigger was wrong, or were you still like potentially beating yourself up the way that I have and a lot of women are, which is, okay, I must not be fasting enough, or I better skip this meal or cut back here, or cut out these Quest bars. Did you think that it was diet and workout related, or did you know that there was something else bigger that was wrong with your health?
I knew that there was something bigger because I had been, you know, kind of pushing this issue aside and doing everything I could to keep competing. And then the being in pain, I think, was a big, you know, red flag.
Okay.
And I was reverse dieting after my show, which is slowly adding back in calories, just like you slowly cut them to actually diet. And so I knew what my resting metabolic rate was in March. I had it tested while I was still competing, and I knew that these numbers weren't matching up. So I was eating under what I should be burning, and I was rapidly putting on weight. Now I'm like not talking about a few pounds. I'm talking about tens of pounds real quick. And so I was like, this cannot be right. And I remember telling my coach, like, I'm going to just stop reverse dieting and try and just eat nutrients and listen to my body, and maybe that will help. That didn't help. So I transitioned to intuitive eating, and then I made it through the holidays, and I said, okay, I got to try something because I am miserable. I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way I feel. And at this time I was still training, and I'm not going to say I was training like I was when I was competing, but I was still training hard, lifting heavy, probably 3 to 5 20-minute cardio sessions a day or a week. And I was still gaining weight. So I went on the Candida diet strictly for 6 weeks, and I saw huge improvements in my body, in my face. Like, I didn't even look like myself. My face was so puffy. And it's really hard to look back at those pictures. But the scale wasn't moving, and I was like, well, shit. So it did take a while to get the biome results back because they were a startup company at the time. So I finally got those back and learned that I really did have this issue. I didn't have Candida, but going on the Candida diet was kind of like my own elimination diet.
Mm-hmm.
And it pretty much worked. And if you have a gut health issue, the first step is going on an elimination diet. But the second step is kind of eating as much food as possible, which sucks. Like, mm-hmm. So I'm having nutritionists and dietitians look at me and saying, you just need to get calories up and diversity up. And I had started to develop a fear of foods because the Candida diet is very restrictive. It's not saying you can only have X amount of calories. It's just saying you can only have about 20 of these foods. You know, no fruits, nothing sweet, no sugar, because sugar is what's feeding that bad bacteria. So even the sugar from fruit, even the good sugar, as people talk about, and none of that for 6 weeks. And so when I had to start adding diversity back in, there was this fear of, well, what if I'm in pain again? Or what if I blow up? And I mean, I did have a few of those issues in February, in April, and then I think in June, kind of every other month, I did have like a little episode where I was distended, bloated, must have eaten something that upset me for about a week. So I started to get my calories back up. I was shooting for about 2,500, still intuitively eating, but I've tracked macros long enough that, you know, I knew where I was at as long as I wasn't under eating, because we need food to heal. We need those calories to repair our gut, to convince our bodies that we want to have babies, for just basic function, to have those fats that our hormones ride on to everywhere in the body that they're supposed to go. And I ended up doing a bone broth fast as well, which I think was extremely helpful in the situation. So I am cautious to recommend that to people, because it's not about not eating for 2 or 3 days. It's about, you know, clearing out the gut and killing a lot of that bacteria. Mm-hmm. So I did warm lemon water and then celery juice and then 3 big bone broths for 3 days straight. I didn't work out. You know, it's, the goal is not to go burn calories during right. this. It's to rest. We don't always think about this, but eating is a stressor on the body. And so if your gut is already inflamed and already having issues digesting food, throwing more food on top of it can make it worse. So it was really good. And I think it set me up to then begin increasing calories. And then I also stopped working out for 2.5 months, which was the hardest thing I ever had to do. I hate yoga with a passion. I hate it. I've learned to love it. Now we have a love-hate relationship, but I could only do yoga and walk. Those were my forms of exercise. So, you know, I train more of a power building style. I love to lift heavy. You know, in a prep, I could squat 225 and deadlift 275. I'm pretty strong for being 5 feet, nothing, a smaller framed girl. And, you know, going to the gym is something I do with my significant other, Paul. Like he comes home from work, we get ready, we go to the gym. It's our thing. So that was hard, you know, to not do that. And I slept a lot. I needed to rest. I needed to catch up on a lot of sleep. But part of that, you get in your head and you're like, am I lazy? Yes. I don't sleep with my phone in the bedroom anymore. I try not to wake up to an alarm whenever I can, unless I have, you know, a morning meeting. And I'm lucky I do have that flexibility. But resting, I think as women, we don't rest. We're like, I got it. We have kids. Something needs taken care of. I'll get it done. We're the first to raise our hand. And oftentimes there's no hours at the end of the day for us. And we're running, our cortisol levels are so high and we're stressed out. So the main things for me would be, I got calories up. I stopped working out, which everybody's scared, you know, they're going to gain weight, and you might. I did gain a few more pounds, but it set me up to begin cutting at the beginning of May. And I'm happy to say I'm down 12 pounds. It's been a very slow cut. But I finally feel like I have my body back. I can see my shape again. I'm not one big inflamed ball. And I've started training again. And I don't necessarily train only super heavy anymore. I try to do a little bit of HIIT, a little bit of conditioning, a little bit of yoga, a little bit of walking, just to minimize the stress that I'm putting on my body.
I'm writing down, hold on one second, minimize stress. A couple of things that you just mentioned, which are key. And then I'm going to go back to, you know, how did you decide, you know, when to step things up a little bit. But when you mentioned rest and the importance of sleep, you know, rest in particular, that was something that both I heard from my therapist and also from my dietitian, Emily. And I remember that when Emily first reviewed, like she had an intake form and she asked me a ton of questions and I spilled my guts and told her, you know, my history, my medical history, my health history, my frustrations. And of course I was like, okay, how soon can I lose 25 pounds? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was like, this is what we're going to do. It was the first 3 months that I've been through with her have been about reverse dieting and getting me away from my fear of foods, just like you had. But also focusing on tailoring back my training, because she's like, for years you have been over training and under eating, and that's why your adrenal fatigue is so bad. And it took a while, but I remember she said to me, she's like, we want to make your workouts so that they're restorative. And mm-hmm. whenever you, and I remember she was like, you can lift. I want you to lift and not do plyo or HIIT, you know, any of the jumping and trying to get your heart rate up in between. Just lift heavy, but you know, 40, 45 minutes and not jacking your heart rate up and just being calm, and do it when you have the energy for it, but 3 days a week. And on the other end of the line, I'm like, 3 days a week? Are you kidding me? Like, well, can I do an hour of cardio afterwards? Can I add 20 minutes of HIIT training every single day? What am I going to do in the other days? Can I do a Kathy workout? Can I do a DVD? Can I do circuits? Because I thought, how could I do less? And the concept of rest was like a foreign word. The concept of listening to my body when I'm exhausted at the end of the afternoon and saying, like you, I need to take a nap, and that's okay. Like, we as, I think there's a lot of women like you, like me, and it doesn't matter about your age. You're running a business. I mean, you're an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. We're in the fitness space where you're already driven, you're competitive, and you want to reach your fitness goals. And then you add to that that you have a business and you want your business to run successfully. Or if you work for somebody else, same thing. You could be working your way up the corporate ladder. But you push, 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 and push, and we never think, how do I feel? Do I need rest? And everybody thinks it's cool to talk about not getting sleep. And, oh, I get 5 hours of sleep a night. It's no big deal. I mean,
the glorified hustle,
isn't it? I mean, and you and I both, we're both in the same space. We're entrepreneurs. We work hard, but why is it that so many people think like sleep and rest from workouts is not important? And when you have, because I know, and we're going to link up to this too at the end of the show, you know, you train people, you work with people who hire you, both from a business perspective, but also from a fitness perspective. When they come to you, is that something that comes up a lot right at the beginning? Can you see that they are overtraining, not resting, and not sleeping? And how do you address that?
I have two clients. I have the client that does that, and then I have the client that can't get motivated to go to the gym. And that's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, I actually, a client comes to mind, marathon runner, but scared to eat over 1200 calories. And every race she ran, she got worse. And I said, don't you think, you know, if you've ate a little more food, you'll have a little more fuel for that, you know, 26 miles. Mm-hmm. And she was petrified. She's like, yeah, but I can't eat more. Like, my wedding's in a year. Like, that's why I hired you. I want to lose. And I looked at her and I said, well, if you're only eating 1200 calories and you think cutting is the answer, do you want to eat 1000 calories and still try to run a marathon? Cause I don't think that's, you know, going to end well. And it did. It took about 6 weeks for her to kind of trust me and realize this could be working. I implement things like refeeds instead of cheat meals, where it's a structured amount of carbs and fats that we bring up weekly. And that's not just a mental break. That's a physical break on your body. So when you're already not eating enough, let's, you know, trick the body into thinking you're eating more, and your metabolism will spike. And if no, for no other reason, go eat a burger with your fiance, go get ice cream, walk to the ice cream shop, use that 50 carbs and 20 fats, as that mental break, which also helps with the stress and the cortisol. So that's something I really try and implement with people, because I know you're going to have that glass of wine and burger, or I know you're going to have that ice cream or the sleeve of Oreos at some point. I'd rather have you structure that in instead of wait 3 weeks and then binge on the whole package of Oreos instead of just one row.
It's so true. And you know, I think that you brought up, when you're bringing up this client who's a marathon runner, you know, and we're not judging runners here, people, but yeah, it's a cardio mindset with women that when you're trying to reach fitness goals, sadly, there still is this myth that pervades that if you're not losing weight, do more cardio. And women can get, and I was one of them, I actually enjoy most cardio. So it was very hard. Yeah, it was really hard for me to go, oh, this is not good for, you know, first I had to get away from the mindset of adding more cardio is not helping, and I can't spend 8 hours a day on the treadmill. That's not going to work. And inevitably, I mean, if you think about it, back to what Alex was sharing with their client, if your mindset is, I'm not losing weight, so let me keep cutting calories and working out more, at some point, wouldn't you get to the point where you're having like 100 calories a day and working out? That's, you can't live like that. That's, so at some point you have to realize like, this isn't working. And if you think about this, I'm all about analogies and metaphors to make a point, but think about this from a treadmill perspective. If somebody hired you and said, you have got to get on this treadmill and run 1,000 miles. And you got on it and you're like, I can do it, right? And you started running. You might get on that treadmill the first day and be able to run at 5 miles an hour or 8 miles an hour, and you're crushing it, right? 4 hours into it, you're not going to be able to still do 8 miles an hour. You're going to be at 6 or 5, mm-hmm. 9 hours into it. And I'm being extreme, but if you were not allowed to get off that treadmill until you hit 1,000 miles, you would inevitably be getting to the point where you're holding onto the sides and probably barely able to move your feet because you never gave yourself a rest. You never gave yourself a break. Now try to think of the same analogy. And if you were able to say, I'm going to run, I'm going to get up in the morning and run a mile, and then I'm going to go to sleep and I'm going to come back tomorrow and I'm going to get up in the morning and run a mile. How much more rested and ready would you be? And if you were fueled and you had water, if you were that comparing that scenario to the person that got on the treadmill, no food, no water, and was going to try to hit 1,000 miles without stopping, that wouldn't make sense to anybody. But I think in our fitness journeys, we don't get that pushing ourselves and not fueling ourselves and not sleeping and resting is the same concept. And it takes a while to get that. And I think that more and more women need to embrace, like, okay, I need to look at a different way of treating my body from a nurturing perspective and a fueling perspective instead of a beating up perspective. Mm-hmm. Does it take a while for you to get that through with your clients sometimes?
It breaks my heart because it's often the ones that need to see it the most. It takes longer for their bodies to kind of adjust. You know, I reverse diet nearly every single client because the majority of women come to me not eating enough. Or even if they're eating like 1600, 1700, 1800 calories, I want to push it and see where their metabolism really is. And that way, when we go to cutting from 2200 calories is much better than cutting from 1200 calories.
No kidding.
But it's often the people that are like all hands on deck that I start reverse dieting them and they lose 7 pounds and they're, you know, they shout it from the rooftops. But I have so many clients that they either maintain their weight, which is still amazing. So if I can take you from 1200 calories to 1800 calories and you stayed the same weight, that's incredible. But oftentimes they don't see the value in that. And that's hard for me as a coach. And all I can do is, you know, encourage them. And usually if their weight hasn't changed, their body is still changing and their clothes are fitting better. Or my number one thing is I'm happier, or my boyfriend said I wasn't a bitch this week. and it's like, yes, what a cookie fitted in your macros can do for you. You know, we often walk when we're hungry, when we're probably angry, that's where hangry came from. Mm-hmm. We're not happy dieting. If you don't like to do cardio, stop doing more cardio. Right. If you don't like to do group fitness, don't do group fitness. If you don't want to go and do compound lifts and squat and deadlift and bench, don't do that. But find a workout that works for you, that makes you happy, that makes you want to fuel yourself, that makes you want to work on yourself instead of punishing yourself. I think there's working towards a goal is different than beating yourself up to achieve a goal.
So true. And it is, I will say, one of the things that's nice that I've observed some changes in the fitness community is, you know, 3 or 4, maybe a little bit longer in the early years of Fitfluential when CrossFit was first becoming big. And this is not to criticize CrossFit, because the trainer that I was working with last year was much more what I'd call CrossFit style training with me. I was doing things like overhead squats that I'd never done. And I used to make fun of, and I'm like, this is so cool. The bottom line is I didn't realize last year that I was taking his training and my friend Amanda Tress's Faster Way to Fat Loss program. And I was taking both of those to the extreme and not listening to the fact that I was just annihilating my body with, I mean, I was adding in 24-hour fasts every other day. I was adding, and I was like that kid who doesn't get the answer they want from mom, so they go to dad. So Blaine, my trainer, would say
I have those clients too.
Yeah, I did, because the bottom, I kept pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and wanting to get thin. And I thought, okay, if this isn't working, if it's not working at volume 2, move the volume up to volume 5. And then if that's not working, increase it. And so I train with Blaine, and I told Amanda I was doing her program, and she would constantly say, I don't think you're eating enough. And I'm like, well, I'm not losing, so clearly I need to eat less. And I did. I added in 24-hour fasts every other day. I asked Blaine if I could do 20 minutes of HIIT training every morning. So I was lifting and training heavy with him 4 days a week, 20 minutes of HIIT cardio every single day. I was then doing, on the days I didn't train with Blaine, an hour of intense weight training circuits, and then trying to squeeze in yoga in between all that and power walks. So if I ate a donut, I would then go, oh, I better go on a power walk. So I'd add in things like that. And we wonder why my adrenal fatigue went like insane. And when I saw my doctor 3 weeks ago, he was looking at my cortisol and he's like, your cortisol at 2 p.m. is as low as it should be when you're fast asleep at 2 a.m. He's like, I don't know how you're getting through the day. And because I wasn't listening to my body, I probably was like, well, give me a Diet Mountain Dew or give me an espresso. Mm-hmm. And I didn't listen. And now I do. So it's a huge shift, but I love what you said. Find what fitness works for you, because fitness shouldn't be a punishment. It should be something that you love and that you can ration, right? But find what you love. And if it's CrossFit, do it in the right way. More and more people are finding, they're not labeling themselves. They're not saying I'm a marathoner or I'm a yogi. They do a little bit of everything. And it's nice. It's been cool to watch you as you're sharing your, what you do. And you're like, I did yoga today. I've learned to really love it. And you're not saying that because you want to impress people about yoga. You absolutely learn to love yoga. If you didn't, you wouldn't be doing it. So you've got to find what works for you. We've totally hit, like, this is going to be the end of part two. So I want to start wrapping it up, but we've talked about so much, and this was such a great step. And I think people have picked up on this journey, you know, that you've been on. You were competing, you hit the wall, your body was, you know, doing crazy things, but you listened and you started taking steps to not only do research, but to connect with some, you know, tests and get blood work done and connect with some doctors that could guide you. And most importantly, you started taking care of yourself and knowing that you started to have that attitude change of, I deserve to heal myself. And luckily, I think it's also important. You have the support of a wonderful man who has been there for you throughout all of this. I mean, how important is it for people, maybe if they're not in a relationship? I have the most amazing man on the earth. You and I have compared notes. Like, he's so supportive of me in this. I can't tell you how much of a difference that makes. But if somebody doesn't have a significant other, do you think it's important for them to reach out and, you know, have somebody who's an accountability kind of like, I'm going to help you love yourself a little bit more, partner? Because that support and not feeling like you're alone in healing your body is key, I think.
Oh, you need to find a therapist, a coach, a community. I mean, there is a Facebook group for everything. And, you know, like you've said, we've talked about how lucky we are. And I think it's really important, as much as, you know, the body positive movement is, to have someone that's not, how do I say, Paul loves me no matter what. He loved me when I was 147 pounds. He loves me right now at 135 pounds. What I weigh does not change that, but what he's concerned about is my happiness, how healthy I am. And so he does push me to be better and holds me accountable, which is, I think, a good way to put it. Oftentimes, and I see this with some of my clients, their significant other is like, well, why can't you go out to eat tonight? Well, I want to binge eat on donuts and dessert and brunch. And they're not supportive of their partner's goals, but they maybe want them to look their best, but that doesn't go hand in hand. So surrounding yourself with people who support your goals, and love you no matter what those goals are, as long as they're healthy and safe.
Yeah. And I think that what you spoke to there is key. And I would label that as becoming more self-aware and grounded, and that will translate into being more confident, because then you can have those conversations. I mean, again, I have I met the love of my life. I mean, he's amazing and he's supportive and he's not patronizing. So we can have those conversations. But if I was in a relationship with somebody that was, you know, maybe trying to say, look, just have a little bit of this. I know now that because I've done the work on myself, I work with my therapist, I'd be able to say, look, here's what I need to do. And this is important to me. And, you know, I appreciate, you know, your input, but I'd be able to stand up to that. And that's about becoming more self-aware and strong in supporting yourself. And we can all get there. But I guess as we close up, we've talked about so much in this first two-part episode with Alex. And I'm so appreciative that you gave us this much time. And I certainly want to have you back. But before we close, I just want to reiterate for everybody listening, we've had a lot of ladies on the show and some experts, and some women will mistakenly think that these issues we've talked about here, adrenal fatigue, hormone issues, gut issues, they think that it's maybe being in my age group, like 40 plus, they think it's a perimenopause or a menopause thing. Alex is 26 when this started happening. She's 27 now. We are seeing more and more women who are experiencing these. I'm just going to blanket call it maybe cortisol, adrenal fatigue, hormonal imbalance issues at all ages. And I believe it's the result of our medical, you know, the way that doctors work. You go to them, like you said, they're not going to want to give you a comprehensive blood panel workup. They're going to want to give you Xanax or antibiotics. That's the way our medical system is set up. So it's that. It certainly is women being competitive and serving everybody else but themselves. It can also be this entrepreneurial lifestyle that many of us live in, you know, that hustle mindset, putting yourself last, you can sleep when you're dead. All those things can add up, but please give yourself the respect to know that this kind of stuff can happen at any age, and it is something that you can fix over the long term, and you deserve that kind of help. So, Alex, I want to thank you again so much for all that you do, for all the information, how transparent and vulnerable you've been online. You're inspiring and helping people like me all the time. Tell people who are listening, and we'll link this up in the show notes, where they can find you if they, because again, one of the great things about Alex, I just told her before the show, I'm going to hire her for my new business. She has a business where she helps, and I'm going to let you explain it. It's about branding. So she works with entrepreneurs, but then she has a fitness business as well. And obviously I think you can see the woman knows her stuff. You should be hiring her if you're at all interested. So tell people where they can find you, give them a brief overview of your business offerings. We'll link that up and then tell them where they can find you on Instagram as well, because if I try to spell it, I will goof it up.
So my website is almazurcofit.com, the first two letters of my first name, and then my last name, fit.com. And then Instagram is kind of where I house all of my freebies. So I not only have fitness freebies and free workout weeks in my bio, but I also have a branding freebie. So my top five branding resources that you need to build your brand and business. I left my job as a graphic designer and marketer in the startup world to start my fitness coaching business because I see this need. I want to reverse diet all of these women who, you know, have been under eating for years and years. And I've had a lot of success doing it. But I'm in this business and I know other coaches and I know other wellness brands, and they kept asking me, well, how did you make your logo? How did you do your website? How did you start your email list? And I packaged that all together into a program called Build Your Brand, which is a 12-week course where you get a logo, ebook, website, email list, a freebie, and 12 weeks of brand building coaching to kind of jumpstart your business. I also do, you know, freelance work on the side if you just need a logo or you just need some email work, et cetera. But that is what I do.
And you're awesome at it. And there's so many, I wanted her to detail that out, you guys, because there's so many of you that have a fitness passion. And then, you know, you decide, hey, I want to start a website. Hey, I want to, you know, coach women online. And I think there can never be enough because there certainly are plenty of people who need help. And that's always going to be a cycle, right? So Alex, we will link up to all of this in the show. We'll link up to your Instagram. Obviously, you guys, we encourage you to connect with her directly, not only because she's awesome, awesome. But because if you have questions, you should be reaching out to her directly. But if you have questions specifically about this show, topics that you'd like us to be covering, you know, anything you heard us mention here, we're going to be covering a lot. We're going to have more individuals like Alex who have been through this, are going through this, have come out the other end. We're going to have my doctor on here a lot talking about cortisol, adrenal fatigue, hypothyroidism, all these good fun things, and how you can change your life, not necessarily, you know, go buy an expensive pill to fix it. This is all doable, but it requires us starting to make ourselves and our health a priority and becoming our own advocate. You know, when I referenced that when I saw my doctor, it was because I brought up this spironolactone pill that he was like, wait a second, you've got to be that pushy broad and you will be so glad becoming that pushy broad about your health, because this is when you'll make real changes. So again, I encourage you, if you've got any questions, email us podcast@fitfluential.com. You can also use that same email if you are interested in nominating anyone to be on the show for an interview, or of course, if you're interested in sponsoring future episodes. For right now, thank you so much, Alex, for being here. I will follow up with you after the show because you know I'm going to have you back on. And for everybody listening, thank you so much for tuning into Fitfluential. We will see you next time. Thanks everybody for tuning into this two-part episode with Alex Mazurko. Again, if you happened to listen to this episode and you missed part one, please be sure and go back and listen to that part as well. Thank you so much for tuning into Fitfluential Radio. If you love the show, we would really, really love it if not only you make sure you're subscribed, I'm sure you already are, but if you'd go to iTunes and leave us a review, it really helps our show get out there and be heard by more people who really could benefit from this information. We put a lot of time and effort into the show. We've got no less than 50 new guests coming down the road and a full schedule for the rest of this year. And we would absolutely love your support. So thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.